I'm Mindy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Later in the hour, we discuss Recovery Build, a program for teens focused on creating community around sobriety and recovery. But first, the Massachusetts Department of Education estimates 50,000 students in the state are homeless. That figure is from 2005, and the number is steadily rising. What are the social, emotional, and academic implications of being homeless, and how can we better support those youth? Joining us is Reverend Ken Campbell. He's chair of the Nauset Interfaith Association, founder and former chair of Youth Outreach and Hospitality. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Susan Whitcomb is a licensed social worker and adjustment counselor at Monomoy High School. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
And Hadley Luddy is executive director of the Homeless Prevention Council. Good morning, Hadley.
Good morning.
All right, so, Ken, under your guidance, the Nauset Interfaith Association founded what was originally known as Youth Overnights of Hospitality. So give us a little background on the formation of Youth Overnights of Hospitality and what the goals were.
Originally, Our concern at Nauset Interfaith was to replicate the program that had taken place with the Cape Cod Council of Churches on overnight hospitality for adults. And our concern that maybe we could extend that to youth. We discovered rather quickly that there were issues in the way that prevented that of having overnight youths in churches because of zoning laws and issues about responsibility for unaccompanied youth. So we moved toward other ways that we could support youth. We discovered there were no facilities on Cape Cod for homeless youth where they could stay. That remains to this day. That we would try and establish some services that could help them in other ways. And maybe I could just read our mission statement.
Yeah, just before we do that, we said no place for them to stay. You mean unaccompanied. There's places for children to stay if they're with an adult.
Yes.
But not by
yes.
themselves. Okay, go
yes,
ahead.
Yes. So we seek to support youth who are at risk of becoming homeless or who are otherwise experience exclusion from community. Our initial concern was especially for LGBTQ kids, but for all kids. Our goal is to help these young people experience safety, respect, dignity, and the opportunity to make their own choices as contributing members of the community to which all belong. And if I could just add, one of our concerns at Nauset Interfaith was that faith communities need to form partnerships with each other and with other parts of the community if we're going to be able to effectively address these kinds of issues, such as the educational community and the human service community, the police, businesses. And although we talk about this a lot, it doesn't really happen very much. Mm. But when it does happen, incredible things can happen when we work together.
Yeah. Hadley, we're in the midst of a youth count, so tell us more about these surveys and what kind of information you're gathering.
Sure. So the youth count runs from this year from April 23rd to May 14th. And during that three-week period, we are out in the community working with organizations and doing a lot of promotion as well online to survey young people under the age of 25 who are either experiencing homelessness or facing some sort of what we're calling housing instability. And we're working with a variety of community partners, whether it's Cape Cod Community College, where there's obviously a large number of young people attending school there, or our local schools or other youth-serving organizations to do that outreach.
How do you find these kids? Because this is a population that's really hard to count when they're homeless or on the couch surfing, as they say, living in their cars. They're not as apt to talk to adults, for sure.
They're not apt to talk to adults, but they also don't see themselves at risk. It's really interesting, the more that we talk to young people who are doing something they call couch surfing, they really see themselves in a relatively stable housing situation, which obviously they're not. Yeah. They're spending a couple weeks with one family, a couple weeks with another, and feel like they've got a plan in place. But in the end, ultimately, they really are are homeless. So getting young people to talk is a challenge. We work with organizations like the Hyannis Youth and Community Center, who's been helping us with their youth ambassador program, doing some street outreach, actually having young people who are ambassadors go out and work with reaching out to those young people at risk and actually encouraging them to take the survey. We find that oftentimes it's peer-to-peer that's the most successful.
So how reliable do you think your numbers are?
So we know that last year's numbers were not reliable at all in the end, and we really wanted to see a broader scope of respondents. And I think this year we will see much much bigger response and a broader reach of young people. Even in the last week, we got about 12 different surveys from young people at 4Cs who felt that they really identified with and would be considered homeless.
It's an annual survey then that you do?
It's an annual survey.
So what do we know from the previous year's data about the number of homeless youth on the Cape? And even though we think it may be higher than that, what are we looking at?
So last year we had 74 respondents on the Cape, and only 5 of those respondents fit the criteria for technically being homeless by the youth count. But we know, if we look even at Homeless Prevention Council, for one example, in 2017, that we helped a total of 20 clients who we would consider unaccompanied youth between the ages of 17 and 24. So the challenge was then getting those young people to complete those surveys. But if you even looked at one organization specifically working only in the 8 towns of the Lower Cape and the fact that there were 20 people, it gives you an idea that there's obviously a much broader scope of numbers out there.
So what anybody can answer this. What do we think some of the causes are of youth being homeless? Unstable families? What are they saying there?
Some of the causes we see at the school are unstable families. Some sometimes families will move off Cape to find housing, and if the student is a junior or senior, they want to stay and finish high school, so they'll stay, but then they're staying with friends or couch surfing or trying to rent a room somewhere. So it's the housing issue lacking, and families that are still students that are still with their mothers or parents, but that lose housing for some reason, and then they're trying to find housing.
Sometimes also it has to do with their sexual orientation. A number of youth that I've known, this has been an issue, and it's wonderful when you can help to bring about a healing of that relationship, but often that's not the case. And I think, as Susan was saying, broadly speaking, economics is a big issue. How it tears people apart. They feel they can't cope or meet all their expenses, and it also depresses them, and their relationships deteriorate, and the kids feel the fallout from that.
Right. Anything else, Hadley, to add?
So we know that 40% of young people who are homeless in the U.S. are LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. So we know that that's a critical population to focus on. I can't say enough about the issue of affordable housing. That is without a doubt the most critical issue that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And this is really across the Cape and Islands. And, you know, just reaching these young people and finding the supports to get the resources to them.
And this is a vulnerable population. So talk a little bit about the risks that they face.
So what we know is that young people who ultimately are not in stable housing situations are then also probably not making great choices. They're ultimately not working, potentially. They may be at risk of dropping out of school. And that's where partnerships with the schools have been really critical to try to see if we can come up with some solutions to help a young person stay in school. Just in general, sort of all of those risk factors just are opened up when you're in that risky situation with housing.
Attendance issues at school with some of the kids who struggle. And sometimes they're working, they don't come to school because they have to work, or if they miss the bus and they can't get a ride. You know, just a variety of reasons. So attendance, and if they're not there, they're not learning as much. And
Well, and I can't even imagine being focused on learning if you don't have a home. You know, it's like, so, and Susan, being homeless obviously is stressful. Not only do you not know where you're going to be sleeping that night, you might not have access to a shower or laundry facilities, a place to do your homework. So what do you hear from students that you work with about the challenges and then how they cope with that?
Most of the students that I work with do have at least somewhere to shower and to get to school and to get dressed. I have one recent graduate who does not and doesn't feel that she can find a job because she can't clean up to go interview. Another big stress for the kids is if they're going somewhere where they don't have internet and they can't do the homework because most of their work is based on the having internet.
So is getting a job,
stressful.
Right?
So is getting a job. Yeah. So, you know, so they come and they're dealing with all those.
Yeah. Food insecurity is also associated with homelessness. Even if you have access to a food pantry, homeless people don't necessarily have a place to store that food or prepare it. So what kinds of supports are available to help homeless students and unaccompanied youth get food? Anybody have thoughts on that?
In Chatham, they have an angel fund that has resources. So the kids come to me and say, I'm hungry, and do you have a card? And I'll get a Stop and Shop card. That's not going to solve all of their eating issues, but that helps.
For the moment, yeah.
One of the things we've done is to try to distribute gift cards. I might also mention that there is another program that's been established called Food for Kids, which occurs during the summer, which is provides nutritious meals at, I think, 17 sites throughout the Lower Nautic Cape during the summertime. But it is an issue that is hard to get at sometimes. And often what kids end up eating is, of course, not nutritious.
Junk food, yeah.
Not just kids, all of us.
Yeah. Being homeless, of course, also carries a stigma. So do you find students reticent to share their housing challenges? And how do you identify those who might need assistance?
A lot of the students self-identify to their guidance counselor or to me. And once they have told us what's going on, they're pretty open about sharing and asking for help when they need it. Mm-hmm. They'll come, even help trying to find housing, which is difficult to do. Yeah. But
they share with you, but do they share with their friends and other students? Anybody have thoughts?
Sometimes not.
Yeah.
I think because there's an element of shame.
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
But certainly a critical factor, which I think we've tried to be involved with Yo, is that everybody needs a friend. Everybody needs someone they can trust. And that takes time, but it's well worth the effort. And particularly in the culture today, where everybody, we were talking about this earlier, is in such a hurry, that doesn't happen. So we need to, that's one thing we can do, is take the time to listen.
Right. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We're talking about homeless youth. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about homeless youth with Reverend Ken Campbell, chair of the Nauset Interfaith Association, founder and former chair of youth outreach and hospitality, Susan Whitcomb, licensed social worker and adjustment counselor at Monomoy High School, and Hadley Luddy, executive director of the Homeless Prevention Council. 866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to chime in. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Let's bring Greg White into the conversation. He's the Access Program Director at Nauset Regional High School, and he joins us on the phone. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Mindy, Hadley, Susan, and Ken. Glad that you're all there.
Yeah. Greg, keeping up with schoolwork, obviously a challenge for homeless students, and even getting to school probably a challenge. So tell us more about the Access Program and who it serves, how it works.
The Access Program was designed as an anti-dropout program 18 years ago and now has evolved into something that is more for students who struggle due to a lot of the problems that contribute to the reason that some of them are homeless. Their evening classes, most of them drive here themselves, but they also take the flex bus, and occasionally I'm a ride. You were talking about the stigmatic nature of homelessness and how it's communicated to us. We have five teachers and a counselor. And at some point, it may take a month or two, these students feel comfortable with one of the teachers. And sometimes it's a friend who'll say, John is he's out of his house and he's been staying with me and so on. And I just had a parent come to the door who's subbing, and actually her son 2 years ago was the impetus to me joining YOH in May of 2016. When it became evident to me in a class that not only did I have one homeless student, I had another right after, and there were five at that time in the class. So we talked about establishing a fund for the schools, so the Unaccompanied Youth Fund, which also goes to the Homeless Prevention Council, and a drop-in center on Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 o'clock, usually ends up until 9 o'clock. And the classes end at 6:30 in the evening. So students stay after, and they tell their parents. Their parents call in, come in occasionally. And I'm happy to report, while I have the numbers, that we reported from this district in the last 3 years that went from 2014, 15, 13, the next year 10, 16, 17, 8. At some point later in 17, we had about a dozen. Hmm. And I'm happy to report now that we actually don't have any. Hmm. And
that's
say
great.
That softly. But the couch surfing that Susan mm-hmm. talked about has a lot to do with the inaccuracy of the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And they are reluctant, you know, to not only talk about it, Mindy, but they really don't want to ask for help. So mm-hmm. we just let them know that help is available, counseling is available. We have food cards, Lower Cape Outreach supplied some bus passes, and HPC actually made an arrangement for one student to live in a winter rental, and that was the key to her being able to graduate. And they also had helped HPC helped with her getting an automobile. So it's the impact on the educational part is if they can't get here and they don't have a place to study, and the fact that they don't eat well are all problems that we try and deal with. And we tutor these students. They get a lot of support from community organizations like Ken was talking about. So the next step is we're looking at trying to put together a community center in Orleans, a drop-in center that will be more than one night a week, where several services will become available.
Greg, you also host a drop-in program one day a week. What kind of supports are available through that program?
Well, we have parents that have volunteered, and often the principal stays here, and occasionally vice principals. But there's food, and mainly advice towards what's the next step, who should we refer them to, what can I do for you that can help you as far as food and transportation, jobs, finding jobs. And so generally it's students who linger after the last class, and they'll come in and talk about what they need and where they are financially, and what difficulties they're having finding a home.
Mm.
The parent that I had talked about who came in had called me last night, and last night this was our homeless drop-in night, to say that her son, who had been homeless, is now back home, but is going to be homeless again. So I made some suggestions about who he might call. And at the current time, we have three former homeless students who all live together.
Hmm.
And part of the funding for them paying a first, last, and security deposit, which was something in excess of about $5,000, came from several of these organizations in the partnership, including HPC and Lower Cape Outreach, the Nauset Interfaith Association, of course, our unaccompanied youth fund here at the high school.
You know, people have this sort of image in their mind, a stereotype, if you will, of who are the homeless. So what do you think might surprise listeners to learn about some of the students that you help through the Access program?
Well, what initially strikes me is that there's no stereotype. Any of the traditional stereotypes don't apply. Generally, most of these kids are clean and well dressed and articulate.
Yeah, you wouldn't know to look at them that they were homeless. Yeah.
No, not at all. And going back to 2016, the the issue with the student I had just mentioned was followed by another student who just transferred in, who appeared to have his life entirely under control, and then all of a sudden, in a similar situation, was told his parents were getting divorced and he was going to have to find a home. And his whole attitude changed completely. So they blend in well with all the rest of the students. You would never know. I think it might be surprising that they really don't want to be given help, handed, you know, money or food cards or whatever. And they're so thankful about this.
Yeah. Ken wants to chime in. Go ahead, Ken.
I just wanted to pick up on what Greg was saying is about stereotyping homeless youth. Last November at our Interfaith Thanksgiving service, one of our speakers was a homeless young woman whom Yo was helping with her college tuition. And she came and spoke and was terrific. And with all of these old people. And she was a great hit. That's really important, I think
it's also surprising. We're talking about a little bit older kids, but I take part with the Shelter Cape Cod Telethon every year, and every year they have some kids from the Wixon School who come in and read their essays, what homelessness means to them. I am amazed how many of those kids themselves speak about personal experience with homelessness. It's shocking. Greg White's Access Program Director at Nauset Regional School. Greg, thanks for joining us this morning. Susan.
Happy to.
A number of studies have linked youth homelessness with an increase in risk behavior we talked about, such as sexual activity and substance use. So what are some of the protective factors that keep students from engaging in risk behavior? And then also, Susan, how do public schools promote these protective factors? So Hadley, Susan, one of you jump in there.
Having someone that can trust, an adult they can talk to is really important. Having the support, knowing that the kids that we deal with that are homeless are not drug involved at this point. I think it's mostly having adults that care about them and that they can trust, even if it's not at home, at school.
One of the reasons that we started a Homeless Prevention Council, our Outreach to Homeless Youth program, about a year and a half ago, was the concern that to help young people that are dealing with housing instability know that there's a place to go where they can ask for support and potentially even giving a case manager or another community resource or an adult the chance to offer some support services. I think oftentimes, and one of the things we haven't really touched upon is the issue of even drug and alcohol abuse and sort of the risk factors. If a child is coming from a family where that's been an issue and perhaps even added to the issue of homelessness, how do we get some supports in place and help a young person feel better about addressing those issues that could ultimately add to their circumstance?
And now, the school system is able to identify homeless students and provide a number of supports, but once a student graduates or leaves school, they could easily disappear. Is there a way to track this population, and are there services geared specifically towards them?
So again, from our perspective at HPC, that's where if we are engaging with younger people earlier, then it's more likely that they will stay with our program and work with a case manager continuously, even after they've left school, because without a doubt, that is really an area of critical concern is what happens when that person's not in public school anymore.
I keep in touch with several of kids who struggle and when they need help or in a transition period, if they found a place to live and then they're in a transition again, they will often reach out. They'll reach out for food cards, for help from, you know, the various sources.
And Ken, you mentioned earlier the LGBTQ community. And, I mean, it's heartbreaking when, you know, a kid comes out and mom or dad says, that's it, you're out. Or maybe one parent is, like, a supportive of it, the other parent is not. In your experience working with this group of kids, do you find getting these families back together I mean, I know it's not an easy thing to do, but does it happen more often than not? I'd like to think so, but I don't know.
I think it's getting better. It's still not a good situation, but when the issue gets out on the table and people have some time to really listen to each other, and I think especially for youth if we try and befriend and listen to them, that sometimes makes a difference in terms of their ability to try again. Mm-hmm. And the same with the parents. We've had a couple of really wonderful experiences with that. But, you know, it's still a long way to go that we have.
Ken, the Nauset Interfaith Association had hoped, as you mentioned, to find a place to house homeless youth. Is that still the goal? And can that become a reality?
It is still a goal. We have a couple of possibilities that were referred to earlier. Yeah, one is in Orleans, which to begin with, an after-school space for every day of the week, hopefully, with different activities. And I was going to mention also another effort that's been made is by Dr. Sharon Lader, who was associated with NIA with a separate group, provided a program at the Museum of Art for all kinds of art programs that at-risk youth who self-identify realize that they have an issue to participate in these programs on Sunday afternoons. But the key is getting that personal relationship mm-hmm. established where there's enough trust and to participate in the effort. We also have a couple who are interested in buying a home and making it available to be shared with some homeless young people or others over a short period of time. Mm-hmm. So we're working on both of those.
Yeah, sort of an interim housing until you can get...
Yes, an interim housing, yes.
All right, so there's a benefit concert coming up. Tell us about that.
This is another example, I think, of learning to work together. We're going to have... Yo is going to sponsor a concert coming up this Saturday, the 12th, at the Church of the Holy Spirit in Orleans, which has a wonderful facility. And there will be Judy Heights, who is a well-known singer, has offered her services mm-hmm. free of charge, and also a group of young people from Monomoy and from Nauset who characterize themselves as Celtic roots mm-hmm. Will be playing. And that's going to be at 7 o'clock at the Church of the Holy Spirit in Orleans, and you can just make your donation at the door.
All right. We'll have more information about the youth surveys and the benefit concert at our website, capeandislands.org. Reverend Glenn Clambo, chair of the Nauset Interfaith Association, founder and former chair of Youth Outreach and Hospitality. Susan Whitcomb, licensed social worker and adjustment counselor at Monomoy High, and Hadley Luddy, executive director of the Homeless Prevention Council. Thank you, all three, for coming in and talking about this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mindy.